Welcome to the Urban Farming Podcast. My name is Chris Light. I've been urban farming for about 2 years now, and we really here to get the notion of urban farming as a potential solution to food security on track. So please hit the subscribe button, like us on Facebook, and to send us what you would like to know and understand better about urban farming. Hi, Chris Light here. This is the sixth episode of Urban Farming in South Africa's podcast. I've got Lizette Grobler. She's the head of sales and marketing at Kos.community. Lizette, welcome, first of all.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
We're going to have a chat around basically tips, and you work with the retailers, the consumer, the customer, the end user.
That's right.
Maybe just to kick off with the notion that, you know, there's an increasing, in my view in any way, increasing appreciation for the micro farmer, the urban farmer, for the farmer in general. And, you know, I think there's an increasing notion that people want to be more in touch with where their food comes from. There's increasing appreciation for, you know, fresh, in season, local. Last week we emphasized the value of buying local and so on. Organic isn't always a pretty thing. No.
Unfortunately, yes. Like I said last week, people sometimes tend to forget that fresh produce is not made in a factory. Mm. Unfortunately, some of the commercial farmers have basically created factories with genetically engineered produce, and they look the same. They don't go off very quickly. And unfortunately, they have now made the consumer believe that that's the way that fresh produce is, and it's not actually. So I think the urban farmer who will produce in a more natural way will have a challenge in the market. Mm. I think there needs to be still a lot of education. Firstly, in terms of what real fruit and vegetables look like. Mm. We are very price sensitive. Even if they want to go organic, it's maybe not economically or financially possible for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think on the higher LSMs, there is a lot of appreciation. But again, all right, the fact that you produce organically isn't necessarily going to give you the edge just there. There is a story behind it that needs to be sold. I think there's a few things that I want to touch on, but the positioning and packaging, let's elaborate a little bit around that. What do you... When you choose which farmers to buy from, what is the stuff that you look at?
So quality products, and we know it's a natural thing. So there might be imperfections and so on, but just in general, a high quality product. And then the packaging, that's a very difficult one. On the one hand, the consumer wants everything to look nice. They want to feel good when they put it in their shopping basket. On the other hand, they want environmentally friendly packaging or naked produce. We have tried that, the naked produce. We've tried it with your things.
Yeah. Because the reality is, just want to elaborate on that. The reality is with naked packaging, things do get squashed. Yes. Things do get damaged more easily.
And even the shelf life is
very low.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really, it's But again, you know, we shouldn't discard it there. I mean, there's Costa Rica now, there's a one village there that wraps products in banana leaves, yes. You know, for example.
So, yeah, we get a lot of pressure because people see it on the internet. And but can't you use banana leaves? Yes, no, we don't have banana leaves, so we'll have to import them from Natal, and then, you know, the carbon footprint and so on. So, no, that's also not a very viable option at this stage. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you can, you know, sell naked. Mm. Obviously, with us, the online orders, it's a bit more difficult because they have to be, you know, delivered and transported and so on. But if you sell at a market, there's a lot of things that you can sell naked. Then our next step, we actually asked the consumers. We did a survey.
Mm.
And we asked them what they want. And it was quite interesting because what they want, and then if we give them what they want, the problems then that they create for themselves then with that choice, it's actually quite funny because now we say, no, you know, you can't do naked. Mm. Now we don't only do fruit and vegetables. We say, okay, what's next? Then they say, okay, naked. So we do the naked where we can. Next option, reusable bags.
Mm.
Then we say, okay, so it has to be sewn or locally.
Mm.
I don't think we've really come to a, you know, an absolute, one standard packaging that's going to satisfy everyone.
Yeah.
What I'll suggest is ask your actual consumers. Now, in terms of how you must package
as an urban
farmer, what I can suggest is go and look in your local supermarket.
Mm.
See what catches your eye. I'm not very fond of packaging that costs more than the actual product.
Mm, mm.
We see a lot of that on the fresh produce market, and I know what the packaging cost is, and it's sometimes more than the cost of the actual produce. Got one supplier, their brand is very professional. And everything looks amazing.
Mm.
It's simple packaging, simple plastic packaging, but every item is branded. And it just gives you the idea that I've put some thought into this. This is my baby leeks.
Mm.
And I'm proud to present it to you.
Mm. You need to be proud of what you're putting out there. And it's difficult, you know, there's factors that yields and harvests aren't always the same. But still, it's something you need to be proud of.
Mm. So sometimes the farmers will do something that they think will add value, but then in the end actually, I think takes away from the quality and the shelf life.
And listen, and I think the important thing is take the criticism, you know, don't go and get excuses for it or whatever. Thank whoever is commenting.
That is very important.
And try and improve upon it if it's valid, you know.
In our business, we sell quite a few fruit and vegetable lines, but we also sell other products, in total more than 3,000 individual product lines. Mm. And, you need to manage quality before it reaches the consumer because they pay for it.
Mm.
At our business, we've got a money back guarantee if you're not satisfied. So we really need to make sure that when something reaches the consumer, that it is going to be as close as possible to 100%. What I've learned in this business is not to take any feedback or criticism personally. we might, it's like you said now with your,
my naked packaging.
Naked packaging. Yeah. It's something we tried. It didn't work. Yeah. And, well, now
I still think that, you know, there's somewhere there's the naked urban farmer is going to get.
Yes. No, but that's a very specific target market then. But, so what you need to do is you need to listen. That's the first thing. What I've learned is in our business that one person will be over the moon because they found a worm in their lettuce. Because it tells them it's really organic.
Yeah, yeah.
The next person will let you know that they will never ever buy from you again because they found a worm in their lettuce. And there's a whole spectrum of people. And you have to decide who your target market is. And when they speak to you, you need to listen. So what I say then is, what would you suggest? What do you think is the problem? And the consumers really appreciate that. Then we must listen to them and we must ask them, what do you suggest?
Yeah.
And what I've also learned is when someone, has feedback, first of all, listen and find something to thank them for.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes they will say or suggest something you've already tried. Go back to the drawing board. Look at your whole process. Packaging is something easy that you can change. Cold chain sometimes a bit more difficult. But let's say that you have your cold room or maybe just a fridge or something and you have your things cold and then you transport them, let's say, to a market or something in your car or in your bucky or in your truck and you break the cold chain. Then go and make a plan.
What I've actually found is there's certain stacking and packing options that works well. And what, you know, and then my fridge became too small. So what I basically did is I built the interior of the vehicle, a cold room around my fridge, for example. So, you know, and there's many options. There's, you know, most of the guys, you know, that's into the food transportation side have got air conditioned canopies and the likes. I still feel that there is a lot of value, you know, and I still have this dream about a cycle power delivery system, but it's not really practical in South Africa, and it works in places where, you know,
there's high
densities.
Yeah, like Europe and so on.
But South Africa is spread out a lot.
Yeah.
I am definitely still going to try cycle delivery in the CBD. But you know, that's you have to be practical about what you want to. The fact that I've got a dream about the benefits of naked packaging doesn't mean that it is practical. It doesn't mean that it's right, you know.
Not for every product
or for everyone.
It might be for some products, it might be for some people.
Yeah.
Some people, for instance, have hygiene issues with naked vegetables.
Yeah. But again, how do you counter that? You counter that by knowing where your food came from, you know. So
knowing the farmer or the person producing the food and their integrity.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think, you know, I think it's good to understand, you know, take your criticism, smile and wave,
and smile and
commit to continuous improvement, because that's really what it is about, is constantly improving. And maybe if I can just elaborate on that, you know, one of the reasons why I decided to go into the urban farming business is for the reason that it's got this ability of incremental improvement. You know, after every harvest, you can actually go back and say, okay, how can I do this a little better? After every season, you can go back and say, okay, what am I going to do next winter better? You know, and that's what potentially makes it, I think, a good business is, but then you have to be disciplined about the incremental improvement.
Yes.
Let's talk about this thing, you know, you mentioned integrity and what is the qualities in the farmer or farm that you look for when you buy?
Okay. So the first thing
you've probably bought from every farmer in the country.
No, not really, but, the first thing we look for is integrity.
Mm.
Before we even look at quality, because we can improve quality
with
the farmer.
Yeah.
We can improve the packaging. We can improve a lot of things. But if we don't have integrity, then I don't think we can really work with someone. And integrity can be on so many levels. It can be their pricing integrity.
Yeah.
It can be integrity in terms of when you package something and you state it weighs 500 grams, then it has to be, has to weigh 500 grams. Yeah. Integrity, in terms of, you know, being honest, about your, agricultural techniques.
Mm.
If you are going to sell something as organic, then we need to know. And I mean, you can get organic certification. That is not always for us the beginning and the end, because even with certification, there's a lot of loopholes.
Mm.
And then on the other hand, we've seen farmers without any certification who actually goes above and beyond to really put food out there that is really healthy.
Mm.
So integrity is the first thing that we are looking at. Consistency. Can they stay in the game? And unfortunately, that is very difficult. Mm. We've had quite a few farmers come and go, which is fine. I mean, they don't know if they're going to last and we don't know, but we try our best to help them where we can, creating market for them and so on. What else do we look at? Obviously quality, punctuality. We've had farmers where, you know, our model is we deliver every day and we order from the farmers that which was ordered from us. And we will order and the farmer will just not deliver.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we can't work with farmers.
Mm.
So they have to be committed. And I know things happen. Every now and then we get a call and say, oh, we've had this disaster or that disaster. Mm. The whole crop is gone or something.
Yeah.
So we do have sympathy for that. But that should be the exception.
Okay.
Then we look at consistent quality or consistency in the products. And because we are so close with our hub owners and our consumers, we actually need to know from you when you cannot deliver so that we can make another plan.
Mm.
We need to keep the communication channels open. You need to let us know. For instance, I'm thinking of one farmer now. They had some disaster with their baby spinach.
Mm.
And he just let us know, listen, we're not going to send this out. Mm. It's not good quality. Will you please let your customers know?
Yeah.
So communication, honesty, and farmers who can take feedback and implement that, listen to what is in demand in the market.
Mm.
I think just team players. That's in our business.
Yeah,
I'm not saying for every other retailer out there that's going to be the qualities they look at, but that's what we look at.
Okay. Well, that was very helpful. I perhaps can sort of it aligns a lot around what Stephen Covey said the elements of trust is. It's integrity plus intent plus competency plus track record.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, trustworthiness is a very strong element. And I like also what you said about the notion is a team player, you know, a boer maak 'n plan, you know, so make, yes. make a plan. But
and we're on one team. We're not only the customer.
Yeah.
If you communicate and we can make a plan, sometimes, you know, farmers have vehicle breakdowns or they have strikes or they have something. Rather speak to us. Sometimes we can make a plan. We can send a vehicle. We can make a plan. So we are all on one team to get the product to the consumer. One of the elements you mentioned here now is competency. And that's something that I think sets a successful urban farmer apart. Obviously, we have to first go through the gates of the integrity and so on. But competency, to me, is a farmer who is constantly learning, constantly coming with new information to us, educating us, telling us that, tell your consumers or your buyers this, this, and this. And then educating themselves, educating us, and educating the customers. That is very important to me, that competency. And then track record. Now, I think most small farmers, they have a wobble every now and then. So track record to me is not, maybe you had one yield of spinach that wasn't good. It's actually how you bounced back from that.
Okay.
So track record is, to me, sometimes it's more important to explain maybe why something happened and how you're going to improve it. If there was like one little wobble, it doesn't mean that the wheels are going to come off for this.
Well, your I whole think that that's exercise. Actually, well, it's wonderful, and that's why I'd really encourage urban farmers and micro farmers to, well, any farmer really, to get in touch with course.community. Because it's a rare attitude. It's not everybody that can appreciate the fact that there is wobbles, there is aspects, there is environmental issues and stuff that happens. And I think but getting the notion where people say, look, it's not how far you fell, it's how high you bounce.
Yes.
That's rare, and that's very, very, very comforting that your organization looks at that farmers that way.
Well, obviously. We're all just human.
Yeah.
We try our best. But, yeah, sometimes your best falls a little bit short. Yeah. And like you say, it's how you
recover.
How you recover, how you bounce back.
Mm. Oh, great. I think let's end it there. It's not it's your ability to stand up. It's your ability to smile and wave. It's your ability to build that identity, stand for something. You know, so I don't know why we're all on the cliches here, but you know, if you don't stand for something, you're gonna fall for anything. You know, it's a stand for something. Build that brand. Be consistent. Be punctual. Be a team player. Be respectful. It takes time, but never stop that notion of continuous improvement.
Yes.
Look, Liz, thank you very much for your time. I'm definitely want to have another chapter. I think there's a lot that we can learn from a buying organization like yourself. And thank you very much for the good work that you're doing. And we're looking forward to hosting you again, and all the best of the luck with course.community. I'm sure it's just going to go from strength to strength here.
Thanks very much, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, click the link on Facebook where you can review us and tell us what content you'd like. We aim to bring you the very best in content. Thank you very much. This is Chris Late signing out. Until next time, keep farming.